listening to Steelers Huddle on 102.5 WDVE FM and ESPN Pittsburgh. Steelers Huddle is brought to you by McDonald's. I'm loving it. And by Richard Bazzi's Ford Kings. Richard Bazzi, Schultz Ford in two locations, Wexford and Harmerville, Schultz Lincoln and Wexford, and Schultz Luxury Certified in Wexford. Dale, you told me during the break that there's a few traffic issues, and perhaps maybe that's why Stephon Tuitt is running a little bit late here for the show.
Yeah, I think there's a concert in town, and could be some issues with that, so hopefully he is here soon. He is not typically somebody who is late to these things, so, you know, I think we can expect him here soon.
Dale, last year, at the end of the year, we were in the studio, but early in the year when we were doing the shows with Antonio Brown at the Giant Eagle in Pine, and then on several occasions when Stephon Tuitt filled in for him, and he lives out in that area, he was so concerned about not being punctual that he pulled up in the fire lane in Giant Eagle, ran out of the car, left it running just so he could be there at 7 o'clock and gave the keys to one of us who says, can you move my car? Because he didn't want to be late. So he'll probably apologize 20 times, but that's okay.
Yeah.
He's a punctual person.
It happens. And it's first show of the year. I think there's still some iron, you know, little bugs to iron out in the whole thing. So I don't think it'll be a big problem.
Dale, Mike Tomlin today at the news conference talking about, you know, the penalties, 13 for 144 yards, killing drives, killing momentum, getting behind the chains, limiting snaps, which then in effect limits points, and that's what we saw. Steelers ran only 55 plays offensively. You know, several series just went from first and 10 to first and 20 to second and 15 to third and 12. They were behind the chains a good bit of the time early on, and they never got really in any amount of rhythm. I would expect that to change. You know, was he upset by it? I don't know about upset, but he didn't like it. He said those were some of the negatives. But he apparently had no time for anybody suggesting, once again, that it had nothing to do the Le'Veon Bell's appearing to be, quote, rusty and out of sync. He had no time for that response, and when he was asked about it again, said, I ain't singing that song.
Yeah, so, and, you know, it was really difficult, I think, for the offense to kind of get into a rhythm in the first half because of that. And you look at the first quarter in particular, they had the ball for 2 minutes. You know, yes, you like to have the block punt, and it's nice to have that easy 7 points. But it also meant that your offense was standing on the sidelines for a very long time and really didn't get a chance to get into the flow of the game. And, of course, their first series, they come out and run 4 plays, gain 14 yards, but they lost 20 on penalties. So, you know, no first down there. And then, you know, again, it was just a little penalty here, a little penalty there. And I think, to me, a lot of those penalties were, I think, because of guys just weren't up to the speed of the game yet, because the Steelers didn't play so many guys in the preseason. And if you look at the Cleveland Browns, they did. They played their guys in the preseason because they had to. They had so many young guys out there that, you know, other than Joe Thomas and a couple other key veterans, you weren't playing those guys. But everybody else were guys that needed to play. The Steelers weren't in that situation. They weren't going to put Ben Roethlisberger or Antonio Brown, or even if Le'Veon Bell had been in camp, he wasn't going to see a ton of practice time or playing time, you know, in the preseason. Guys like Marquise Pouncey, Juju Smith-Schuster is a guy who, had he been healthier, would have played more in the preseason, but he wasn't. You know, he was in and out of games a lot. So I think a lot of guys were kind of struggling a little bit early with the speed of the game, and that's why you saw, you know, 5 holding penalties in one game is a ton for any team. And I think that was a big part of that for the Steelers.
Yeah, the Steelers had, you know, they had only 2 offensive touchdowns, only 290 yards offense. Le'Veon Bell had the lowest production in terms of total yards in his career. Martavis Bryant had 2 catches for 14 yards, and one of them was for 14 yards. He has just not looked like the old Martavis Bryant, and that's what happens when you miss a whole year of football. He looked on Sunday in Cleveland the same way he looked in the preseason, which is a little awkward, not very smooth, unsure of what to do, looking like he's ready to drop the ball or fumble, which we saw him do a couple times in the preseason. And I don't know how long it's going to take for him to look like the guy that we know what he can be and they know he can be. But I don't think it's anytime soon, but we'll see.
Yeah, and confidence is such a big thing. And you know, I think when you're out there overthinking things, that's what can happen. You can look like you're a little – you know, skittish out there. He looks that way right now. I think the best thing the Steelers could do for him, and I think they tried to do it a couple of times, is get him down the field and allow him to run under a ball. You know, Ben Roethlisberger kind of forced one into him at the goal line, and they got intercepted. You know, I think if he catches one of those and, you know, turns it into something, I think that goes a long ways towards getting him back into the feel of everything. Like, hey, I'm back. I can still do this. I can still run by guys and catch these long passes. So that's going to come. I really do. It's going to be interesting to see how the Minnesota Vikings defend them this week, because they've got a good defensive backfield.
Yes, they do. And, you know, between Xavier Rhodes and Harrison Smith. Yes, they do.
You think you would think that with Xavier Rhodes being a bigger guy, he's a bigger cornerback, and they might match him up one-on-one with Martavis Bryant and try to roll some coverage to Antonio Brown to see if they can slow the Steelers down that way. Of course, you know, teams try all kinds of things to slow down Antonio Brown, and it doesn't necessarily always work. Speaking of guys that teams try to slow down, our guest is now here.
You know, we were just talking about how punctual you always are, that you arrive right on time and you're never late. And we said there must be some traffic or something.
No,
because
I was in the wrong location. I thought you guys moved, because the address that I have received, for a second, I thought you had guys moved to a different place. I was like, no way. Oh, but that's where I was the whole time.
You didn't go to Giant Eagle and Pine, did
you? Oh, man. No, not really.
Well, welcome. And first off, congratulations on the new contract. It's very well deserved. I know you were eager to get that done. You did on Saturday, the day before Cleveland. Makes you the fifth highest defensive end, paid defensive end in terms of total value in the league. So congratulations on your new deal.
Keeps you here
through 2022.
Yes, it's awesome. It's a blessing to be here. I didn't want to do it with anybody else but this organization, the people here, the team here. I didn't want to play for anybody else. I just saw myself here to be able to help win some championships, bring some Super Bowls here, and you know, raise my family here as well.
And you'll be an old man of 29 when that contract is up.
God, you'll be ready to retire. What are you going to do?
You know, you got your whole life ahead of you. But to do, it's a blessing for me to do what I love to do for a city that I love to do it for.
You know, I thought maybe you'd use some of that cash and bring Dale and I a little season opening gift or something here, but that's okay. We got plenty of time.
I'm here on time. I'll give it to you.
So I think what it shows to Stephon is just another indication how this team makes sure that they retain their core players. You know, you can't keep everybody, even though they did a great job of keeping the offensive line intact, but they make sure they keep their core guys and they reward them.
Yes, they do. Since I've been here, going on my fourth year, the main guys that help contribute to the team and buy in all the way and do the things the way the Steelers organization want to do, they do a fine job in, you know, bearing up for them and helping them become the player that they want to be here. Great place to be, to play football, and no other better organization to do it for, especially with the fans that come out every weekend to support us. You know, it's a real blessing to be part of a Steelers organization with such a camaraderie from everybody.
And they locked up Cam a couple years ago through 2020. And now you through 2022, so you know for at least 17, 18, not for the next 4 years, for sure, that you two will be together, and that's an imposing tandem.
And it's nobody else I love to do that with, too. He's such a smart player. You can see he's a dominant player as well. So, you know, that's why you know why he's here already for a long time, and for me to be on his side and learn from him, learn from the best technically, and become the next guy in line when his time's up for me, it'll be awesome.
Now, we got to ask you about this. You signed the contract on Saturday. You come out, you dominate the first two plays of the game, and then you get hurt. First of all, did you get hurt when you were on the play with Crowell, or did it happen when you were chasing Kizer out of the pocket? Because you kind of landed awkwardly.
No, it was the second play. It was definitely the second play. I can't believe, you know, like you said, I had the great two plays, and I came out real quickie guy. But but I came when the second play, when I had avoided the tight end, I guess I had did something then to myself as I was going up to make the tackle to Crowell.
You had to be going, I can't believe this is happening.
Oh, of course. It was absolutely shocking. You know, you work so hard. You know, I did a really good job this offseason and focusing on my body, paying attention to the things you're supposed to do, getting core strength, you know, everything that I was willing to buy into the season to have a successful season. So sometimes adversity hits you, but, you know, it's a great story without a little adversity in it, you know, to be able to bounce back from this and, you know, keep doing what we was continuing to do and push forward for our seventh Super Bowl for this organization, and my first one for me.
So so what happened? Did you feel a pop? Can you just feel it go weak? And is it when you reached? What happened?
Yeah, it's just that, you know, when I was reaching out, my arm just kind of went numb from just flicking it out a little bit. So I had got out, and they were just being precautious with me and just making sure that, you know, nothing else got eager unless they was able to see in the MRI. So once we got the MRI, we saw that everything was pretty good, and we're going to just strengthen it, get it back going, and then once I'm able to build comfortable with that, we'll be able to rock and roll.
So were you worried? I mean, because, you know, they you know, feared might be a strong word, but they were worried that could have been a torn bicep, and that, you know, could potentially, you know, if not end your season, wipe out 3 months of it. But were you worried at all when it happened?
Well, like, the first day, we didn't get any information of what was going on, okay? So we didn't know anything until the next day of the MRI. So there was no conclusions about anything. Nobody said, you know, what, you know, worst-case scenarios it could have been. We're just saying we're just going to be cautious and just going to go in and make sure everything's all right. We don't, you know, at the end of the day, they didn't want me to lose my arm in the first play, you know, going back in for the rest of the season. It's a long season. Football is a long season. So a lot of bumps and bruises along the way. So when we went back and we saw the MRI, you know, at the end of the day, it was my decision, but we had saw that it wasn't anything worth being able to, you know, be out a long time for.
That had to be a pretty big relief.
Oh, it was such a relief. You know, at the end of the day, this is what I do. I love what I do. I don't think I want to wake up every morning, you know, doing anything else right now.
You'd
have
probably been pretty grouchy around the house.
I'm a pretty grouchy person, you know. I've been telling, you know, she would have wanted to probably like, hey, we got to clean this up. We got to get going, you know.
You know, even when you came out of the locker room and I saw you, you know, the thing I detected was that you weren't down or despondent about it. You just seemed to be, hey, we'll wait and we'll see what the MRI shows tomorrow.
Well, of course, you know, doing this for a while, you can never get down about this. You know, like I told you, I love what I do, and sometimes you just got to accept some of this, you know, consequences that come from doing this game that I love to do. And, you know, you never know until you get the MRI, make sure you're all right. And then from that point on, you just continue to push and then just be what you're good at doing, being a good football player.
So Mike Tomlin today just said that, you know, that there was very positive news compared to what it could have been.
Mm-hmm.
He even left open. He said, you know, they'll monitor your arm strength and the functionality of the arm. But he left open the possibility when somebody asked him, is there a remote chance that Stephon could play Sunday? He said there is. What's reasonable to that you think how soon can you be back?
We're just going to see throughout the week. Now, how much of that strength I get back in my arm right away. If I get enough strength back to be able to push, you know, at the end of the day, be comfortable to go out there to defend myself on the field, I'll be ready to get out there, put my pads back on, and try to get a win with the team. But if not, I'll definitely be out there to be able to be the biggest supporter and the biggest cheerleader for the team, and you know, support all the players, be able to come back with a win for that.
So this isn't a situation where I could challenge you to an arm wrestling contest right now, and
I'll probably still win.
that was going to be my guess too. Yeah. So it's not that bad. You're still feeling pretty strong. Not that you need to be super strong to beat me, but
Stephon Tuitt joins us here in the studio. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with more of Steeler Huddle. You're listening to Steeler Huddle. 102.5 WDVE FM and ESPN Pittsburgh Steelers Huddle is brought to you by McDonald's. I'm loving it. And by Richard Bazzi's Ford Kings, Richard Bazzi Schultz Ford in two locations, Wexford and Harmerville, Schultz Lincoln and Wexford, and Schultz Luxury Certified in Wexford. We'll be back right after this. After this.